Now, last week, UW-Madison's Faculty Senate approved a vote of no confidence against the University of Wisconsin System President and the Board of Regents.
The vote was taken in protest over changes to tenure and the budget cuts to the UW system.
Since UW-Madison's Faculty Senate held its no confidence vote, several other UW schools have followed suit. And this afternoon, UW-Milwaukee faculty members met to hold their vote against the Board of Regents and the UW president, with 300 faculty voting unanimously with a voice vote in favor of a no confidence stance.
Joining us right now is Karen Herzog. She's higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been covering these votes. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So UW-Milwaukee, a big school, a big vote today. Set the scene for us, Karen.
Well, it was a classroom that was intended to hold 175 people. And before the meeting started, it was very clear there were going to be more than that. There were roughly 300 people who packed the room. And it was a very charged atmosphere. It was very clear that faculty feel strongly about sending a message to the UW system leadership that they aren't happy with the direction that things are going. They feel that UW system president Ray Cross and the Board of Regents aren't fully defending the UW system in terms of the budget discussions and also tenure protections and preservation of shared governance. It's a very complex situation, and clearly faculty wanted to send a message today.
Now, we've seen UW-Madison started this off with a vote of the Faculty Senate. Who was represented here at UW-Milwaukee? 300 faculty members, that's quite a few.
That's more than a third of the entire faculty. This was a different gathering than what was held at other campuses. This was the full faculty. This wasn't the representative governing group of the Faculty Senate. And the last time the full faculty met was in 1994. I'm not exactly sure what the significance of that particular gathering was, but it's been decades since they've all been gathered to take some form of action. And this was a unique situation at UWM.
So last week, UW-Madison started, now UW-Milwaukee. Where else have we seen these no-confidence votes?
My understanding is that UW-Eau Claire Faculty Senate currently is in discussions about its no-confidence resolution. So that one is unfolding right now. Also, there have been votes, and as far as I know, unanimous or at least overwhelming, at UW-River Falls and UW-La Crosse.
I don't like to throw around the word unprecedented, Karen, unprecedented, but have you seen anything like this before?
There hasn't been anything like this in recent years. And I think that the pivotal moment here was within the last month at the last Board of Regents meeting, UW-Madison Faculty Senate put its particular guidelines, policies forth for implementing the new UW system tenure policy. And the regents made changes to that they said were insignificant, but those changes were not sent back to the Faculty Senate for their input. And that, faculty say, is a violation of shared governance. And I think that was sort of the tipping point for faculty in thinking, gee, shared governance really isn't what it used to be.
We've had these no-confidence votes, another one or maybe more on the way. What, if any, impact do they have?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I've asked faculty, well, what are you really trying to have happen? What do you want to happen? Because they're not asking for anybody to resign. They're just saying that they want more cooperation. They want more advocacy from UW system leadership. But they are risking the blowback from Republican lawmakers. In fact, Governor Walker today issued a statement that while in no uncertain terms, said that the faculty at UWM was fussing and leaving out important facts in the conversation. And this was a rather detailed press release that cited several things that the governor said were facts that were not being discussed. And that included that full professor salaries averaged $101,700 in 2013-14. And he compared that to annual pay for all workers in Milwaukee County as $49,000. So he's kind of trying to bring it to the average Wisconsinite, comparing the situation that faculty have, you know, referring to tenure as a job for life and that no one else in Wisconsin enjoys that. And faculty say that that's very misunderstood. That's a misrepresentation of what tenure is about.
And Governor Walker, not the only Republican elected official who's reacted negatively. We've seen similar responses from legislators, isn't that right?
That's correct. Republican leadership has basically said that this is an example of why they needed to change the tenure rules, that they feel that there's an arrogance in the faculty, that they're out of touch with the politics and with the people of Wisconsin, and they see it as the lawmakers that is see it as defending, you know, affordability and putting students first and trying to make sure that there are rules in place that if a faculty member isn't performing well, they can be removed, and also if a program has become outdated, if they decide it's no longer needed, that they could then lay off a faculty member rather than having to find another spot for them.
We're talking to Karen Herzog, higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. The UW-Milwaukee faculty voted today in favor of a no-confidence resolution, the latest of a handful now, against the Board of Regents and UW President Ray Cross.
And we'll continue our conversation on the no-confidence vote in just a few minutes, but we want to hear from you. Do you think these measures will help or hurt the University of Wisconsin system? What would you like to see happen with these no-confidence votes? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave us a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now, we're talking about the no-confidence vote that took place this afternoon at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee to challenge the UW president and the Board of Regents.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are these faculty bodies at UW-Milwaukee and elsewhere making the right decision in with these votes of no-confidence challenging the board and the UW president? Or do you think the state was on the right path when it decided to passed tenure policy to the Regents then changed it? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Karen Herzog is still with us, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll go to a caller now. Jim is on the line in West Bend. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to caution against using such a broad stroke talking about faculty in the UW system. I'm a faculty member in the UW system. I teach in the UW colleges. There are 13 UW colleges, which are the point of access for the four-year comprehensives. I've been teaching in UW colleges for 22 years. I'm a full professor. I make just over $50,000 a year. Just over $50,000 a year as a full professor after 22 years. I haven't had a raise in 10 years. The only reason I got a raise is because I applied for a promotion and was fortunate enough to receive it. But in the UW colleges, we teachers, we professors, we work hard. We work probably substantially a greater workload than the people in the four-year comprehensives, This is a story that needs to be told, and not to characterize faculty as highly paid, specialized people, because we're not all in that classification.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. And Karen, you'd mentioned earlier the memo from Governor Walker saying full professors averaging over $100,000 salary. Jim saying that doesn't take into account maybe a lot of people, including non-full professors, of course, and maybe people at UW colleges. What do you think, Karen?
I think Jim is absolutely right that there is a wide range of pay among faculty. And obviously at the four-year institutions, the pay is going to be higher, especially at the flagship in Madison and to a lesser degree at UWM.
Thanks a lot for your call, Jim, at 800-642-1234. What kind of things at this meeting today at UW-Milwaukee, Karen, what kind of arguments were people making? I assume nobody was really arguing against this vote of no confidence since it was unanimous. So what kind of things did you hear?
Well, it was interesting because the meeting started out with statements from two faculty leaders. They're the president and the vice president of the American Association of University Professors chapter at UWM. And they basically made the statements about the reasons why they had no confidence, and it was basically this call for supporting the Wisconsin idea and also for the point that budget cuts have been happening And one of them made the point that they have seen no sign of a plan from President Cross or the regents for how to stem the tide of state funding cuts. They're about to head into another round of budget talks. The next biennial budget is going to be on the drawing board very soon. So after these statements were made, then faculty around the room, it was interesting. They had 17 different points in this resolution that they passed, and faculty in various places around the room read each one of them, which was a pretty strong statement. And then the chancellor said, well, you know, we need to find a bigger room because this room is overcrowded and it's in violation of fire safety code. So he suggested that they move to a bigger room. They had found one elsewhere on campus, and the response was, no, call the vote, let's vote on it right away. And they did. It was unanimous. It was loud. There was applause. There was a standing ovation. It was very clear that there wasn't much dissension, at least in that room, for this particular resolution of no confidence.
I wanted to ask you, there was a reporting in Isthmus, the local newspaper, weekly paper in Madison, talking to Tommy Thompson, former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, about a different state-university relationship, a much more cooperative one, where they seemed like partners. Is there any sense that that's something Wisconsin could move back to anytime in the near future?
Well, I think that if you spoke with UW system leadership and even perhaps lawmakers, they would say that ideally it would be nice if the working relationship were smoother. The lawmakers want to assure taxpayers that the management of the UW system is accountable and efficient, and faculty want to be appreciated. They believe that there's been an attack on the university system from lawmakers, and they feel like they aren't given the respect for their hard work and for all that they contribute to the Wisconsin economy. So I don't know how they're going to come together on this, because it does seem very fractured at this time. And I don't know who will bring them together. I don't know if that's something Ray Cross or the Board of Regents could do. Maybe it's something that the chancellors on individual campuses will have to take charge of. But it's going to be an interesting next several months.
Time for one more brief call with Gary in Eau Claire. Gary, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, Gary?
Well, I've taught for 42 years in education, for the last 25 years in the state system here in Wisconsin, and I believe that the state system formerly was a shining star in education in this country. It is simply no longer so. I would love to support the gentleman who called in a few moments ago about this. Salaries at $100,000, I don't know who he's talking. I'm speaking about the governor.
Mm-hmm.
That simply is not the case here on this campus.
Gary, I gotcha. And Karen, briefly, worries from faculty that the system isn't what it used to be and people may be leaving. Just a few seconds.
There have been people who have left. They've lost some strong faculty members, and there's concern that there will be more, and I guess time will tell what the true effect will be.
Karen, thanks as always for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Karen Herzog, higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joined us to talk about a no-confidence vote, the latest UW-Milwaukee Today against the Board of Regents and UW President Ray Cross.
Coming up after the news, we'll meet the musician stepping into some pretty big shoes on A Prairie Home Companion this fall.
Remember, it's the first day of our spring membership drive. Support great conversations, important conversations with your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out about Project Girl, a Wisconsin effort to improve the conversation around self-worth issues for Wisconsin girls.
That's Chris Thiele there with the Punch Brothers, and he is a busy guy. He's a founding member of the hugely successful bands Nickel Creek and lead vocalist and mandolinist there with the Punch Brothers. He's won multiple Grammys, along with what's known as the MacArthur Genius Grant.
Thiele will be in Milwaukee on Thursday, May 12th on tour with the Punch Brothers at the Pabst Theater, and he joins us now to talk about his upcoming plans to bring together his career as a musician with a new job, successor to Garrison Keillor on the legendary radio show A Prairie Home Companion. Thiele slated to take over for Keillor in the fall. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So you're on the road with the Punch Brothers right now. Before that, you've been with Nickel Creek, too. But I read that you've been making music since you were a little kid, and not necessarily a little kid, but when you were 15 years old, you were on a Prairie Home Companion. Do you remember what it was like to be on the show when you were only 15?
I remember every minute of that experience. I'd been listening to Prairie Home Companion since my parents stopped having to hold my head up. and so it's always been a part of the way that I attempt to engage an audience. And I've been playing professionally now, I guess, since I was 7 years old. So at that point, at 15, I'd already done my fair share of Garrison emulation. So to actually be on stage with the man, hearing him deliver those iconic lines such as, has your family tried a powder milk? And then to actually be a part of the world, to deliver some music that Garrison was weaving into the fabric of the show was thrilling. And even as a 15-year-old, I think I was aware of the grandeur of the moment in my young life. And now looking back, of course, it's particularly meaningful.
Right. I noticed you said you had emulated Garrison Keillor and tried the lines. Do you, to this day, have a Garrison Keillor impression?
I do. I do a little bit.
Want to share it?
I won't suffer you. yes, I have a little bit of one. But mostly, mostly it's in the cadence of delivery, and I have to watch myself as the host incumbent to avoid actually delivering a line in a way that Garrison would, because of course I don't have the booming baritone, and it ends up falling fairly flat. I have to go for exuberance, Veronica. I have to go for exuberance.
Well, I know you've got to be pretty exuberant because you're an incredibly busy guy. You're touring with the Punch Brothers. You're playing in Milwaukee coming up. And then just ahead of that, in September, a few months later, you're going to be taking the reins for Garrison Keillor on A Prairie Home Companion. How do you juggle all these different parts of your life, or do you not see them as that different?
I don't see them as that different. It's all a lot of musical activity, and certainly becoming the host of Prairie Home Companion introduces kind of more of a performative element into it. I won't be purely a musician on the show. Of course, the show is only about half music. But I do see it all as related, and certainly when I'm performing with Punch Brothers or Nickel Creek or any number of the collaborations I've had, the irons I've had in the fire, it's all an attempt to interact with the world in a more meaningful way than I have before, and I particularly look forward to the opportunity Prairie Home presents to sort of to kick that interaction into high gear and be able to combine some of this activity, things like, Punch Brothers, of course, that project is so near and dear to me. It will never go away. And I look forward to actually, inviting the boys onto the show and sort of encouraging us as an entity to interact with the show and with the other guests. Prairie Home is an opportunity for me to funnel, actually to exist in a less fractured way. I've been so interested in so many different things. Sometimes I feel like I've been putting energy into a variety of machines that each go a little bit every time I put energy into them. And this feels like maybe a bigger machine that I can put a lot of energy into and go a little further.
Well, speaking of music, I mean, this has been your main passion over the years. And as you mentioned, your bands, your projects, do you see an overlap, as you were talking about, between your work on the radio and what you'll be doing taking over on A Prairie Home Companion? How do you see them kind of connecting these different sides of you? Because there is this real performative, maybe storytelling element of A Prairie Home Companion that hasn't been necessarily a mainstay in your musician part of your life.
Right. And I won't necessarily do While I'll be the host and I'll be the master of ceremonies, you know, we're going to have spoken word guests on the show, comedians, actors, storytellers, poets, people who do that for a living, so that I don't have to, I don't necessarily have to shoulder the burden of replacing Garrison Keillor, who is arguably one of the world's greatest storytellers, ever. I can get my hands all kinds of dirty with all the music that's gonna be on the show, and then be a willing and hopefully able participant in the other things. Much like Garrison has been a willing and able participant on the musical side of things. He's a writer, and so you know he's spearheaded the spoken word side of the show for a long time and participated in a really meaningful way in the musical part. We'll just be kind of switching the way that works. The host, a host who's a musician will be spearheading the musical side of things and gleefully participating in the rest.
We're talking with musician and band leader Chris Thiele, soon to be radio host of A Prairie Home Companion. He's also a member of the Punch Brothers and Nickel Creek. And people looking at this who might say, oh, this is a musician, that's pretty different than this radio host guy, Garrison Keillor. I've also read people say that you and Garrison have more in common than people might see at first glance. One person wrote that you kind of seem to share the same brain. Is there something to that, the way you think about things and react and process stuff?
I know that from hanging out with Garrison, he loves to take the world in. I hesitate to compare myself to the great man in any way, but I do love to take the world in. It's a big, beautiful, crazy world. And we're messing things up all the time, but so much of the time we mean well. And I think Garrison has always found a way to point that out, that even as we sort of stumbling, bumbling our way through the dark, that we do so in love most of the time, and that the things about our daily lives that we share, that all of us share, are beautiful, and the sharing of them is beautiful, and while he expresses that with words, I try to express that with music, and the show, the template of the show, won't change. It'll still be the same proportion of music and not music, and in an effort to continue to spin these yarns, to both. Break from the cares and woes of the week, but also to kind of trot them out for examination and celebration.
What kind of relationship do you have with him? Do you guys hang out?
We do. We do hang out. We've been discussing the show quite a bit lately. He is approaching this transition as you would expect, very thoughtfully. And it's been a real joy to speak with him about all sorts of things. The world, I mean, it's just as interesting to talk to him about this tree in Central Park. We were on a stroll speaking about the show the other day in New York City, and hearing him talk about the reservoir in Central Park, for instance, was just amazing. And to hear him talk about this or that song, or playing a show in Portland, Oregon. It's thrilling to interact with someone who's been a hero of mine for so long.
Now, as we've been talking about here, you've got really deep roots in the music world. Have you thought about who some of your dream guests would be for the show that maybe you wouldn't have heard in Garrison Keillor's A Prairie Home Companion?
Well, certainly, what I've grown up listening to is different than what Garrison grew up listening to, and the things we love when we're young, you know, form a foundation for the rest of what we love to kind of bounce around on. And so what I love is different than what Garrison loves, although we overlap fairly significantly, you know, as far as the American songbook is concerned. You know, I think one of the differences is just that I maybe have my ear to the ground for what's being added to the musical songbook on a daily basis. You know, we're still doing good work. Musicians are still doing good work. Comedians are still doing good work. There are beautiful songs and funny bits being made right now, and the show is going to reflect that.
And Chris, just briefly before I let you go, what would you say to urge people to stick with the show as it gets ready to undergo this transition?
Well, the template of the show is righteous. This swirling mass of music and storytelling and comedy, it's going to be it. It will be recognizably itself. And the only thing that's going to change is I think the show is going to become a little bit more generationless. When my parents started listening to the show, they were in their early 20s. I mean, I've been listening to the show since I could understand English. And my generation wants and needs it, and so does my son's generation want and need it.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Chris Seeley is a mandolinist with the Punch Brothers. They're coming to the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee on Thursday, May 12th. In the fall of 2016, Seeley is going to take over from Garrison Keillor as the new host of A Prairie Home Companion.